May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope and be present, be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And if it is possible, and beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading comes from Matthew chapter 16. It takes place not long after the text we read last week, in which Jesus declares Peter to be the rock on whom he will build the church. Today's story takes a different direction. I invite you to listen for the word of God. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me, for you're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O Holy God, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. It's a quick turnaround from last week to this week, Jesus' conversations with Peter. Last week, he was the one who got it right, the rock on whom the church would be built. This week, Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." That's an abrupt departure. I've been thinking about the directions Jesus gives in this moment when he says, "Get behind me, Satan." I'd never really considered it. I don't know why I never did. But the direction, changed as it is by the word Satan, is also an invitation, isn't it? Get behind me. It's one of rank, certainly, but also, in a strange way, an invitation to follow. An invitation to follow Jesus, which is the call of discipleship. I've been thinking about that invitation, the invitation to follow Jesus, to be like him, to do what he does, to live a life faithful to the fullness of the love of God. I struggle with understanding exactly what this gospel text means for me today, for us in this moment, for the living of this life, what it looks like to take up my cross and follow Jesus. Well, maybe it's not to take up my cross, it's to take up Christ's cross. I'm helped by the direction that we get in the book of Romans. This letter that Paul writes to the church in Rome gives much more explicit instructions. Not that they're any easier, right? This list of directions that Paul gives here in the 12th chapter of Romans is extensive. Each phrase might be its own sermon as we consider what it would look like to take up this kind of a way of living, where love is genuine, where we hate what's evil and hold fast to the good, where we love each other with mutual affection and outdo one another in showing honor. It requires us to bless those who persecute us, bless and not curse them, to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. It's implications for living that point us toward each other, far from a list of a virtuous way of living that we might read in order to elevate ourselves above the rabble. This list from Paul is a set of ethical instructions that point us toward each other, that require we live in community, in communion, in mutuality, and in love with each other, even our enemies. It's a very different way of seeing the world. As I've been preparing for this Sunday, knowing that we would be praying for the people of Lahaina and thinking about all of those in Maui and elsewhere, in Hawaii and the mainland and anywhere who are affected by the devastating wildfires, I've been thinking about the gifts of Hawaiian culture and theology that have shaped and reshaped my life. Been thinking about the gifts of a way of seeing and knowing the world that have helped me live more fully and beautifully in this world. I've been blessed by the gift of colleagues who have served in Hawaii and live in Hawaii, some of whom are native Hawaiians. I think of the gifts of my colleague Pula Elima, who currently serves Wesley United Methodist Church in Honolulu, Hawaii. He was born in Samoa but has now lived in Hawaii for many years, and taught me about the gift of aloha, a Hawaiian word that brings together two ideas. Ha is breath, and alo refers to a presence. By putting them together as aloha, we might be referring to the breath of life, or even the breath of God. Aloha as a greeting, as a blessing, as a sending forth, is much more than can be simply translated as hello or goodbye. Perhaps more akin to the Hebrew word shalom, aloha contains in it an invitation to honor the presence of the divine here in our midst and in interrelationship. I was listening to a video that Pula Ali'ilima recorded in the midst of pandemic, in which he pondered what aloha had to offer to us in the midst of the fear and anxiety of a pandemic that not only physically separated us from one another, but that made breath a source of fear, a source of contagion. In the midst of that, he invites us to connect still to a breath of God, to a spirit of life, to a presence of peace and hope and connection that is much more than our fears. I was reading this week the wise words of Queen Liliuokalani, the last monarch in Hawaii. She was taken captive when the kingdom of Hawaii was overthrown. This was a combination of commercial and political interests aided and participated in by our U.S. military. Queen Liliuokalani defines aloha as to learn what is not said, to see what cannot be seen, and to know the unknowable. Aloha is transcendent. It invites us in every greeting to know that there's more going on than we see and hear and know in this moment, that we're connected to a life larger than us as individuals, larger than this place, this specific location where we are presently, larger than this moment in time. As we today pray and remember the people of Hawaii affected by this devastating wildfire, we can't do that without considering our participation in the U.S. with not only the political overthrow of Hawaii's kingdom, but also with commercial interests that have reshaped land use and water use in the island, such that wildfires like this could be so devastating. We are not always the hero in the story, and today we have a special responsibility. As we call to mind, perhaps, memories of time that we have spent in Maui or elsewhere in the Hawaiian Islands, to remember and celebrate what we've learned and gained about beauty and hospitality, and love, and connection, but also to confess that we've been a part of systems that have contributed to the continuing marginalization of Native Hawaiians, to the use of land in a way that makes such devastation not only possible, but more probable. And of course, our participation in a changing climate that changes weather patterns, that alters systems of rain and drought that affects people, especially people on islands who so quickly and powerfully see the devastating impacts of our changed climate. So as we consider the call of the gospel this day, we begin with an awareness of our own need for transformation. And so we read this list of ways to live, given to us by Paul in the book of Romans. We read it as a list of ethical invitations that call us to a better life, not only with the person standing in front of us, but with all of those we're connected to. And in a globalized world, a globalized economy, that's everyone. We consider that invitation. And critically, it's not for the sake of looking as though we're the most virtuous people, being recognized or rewarded for, in an idealized or theoretical way, achieving perfect virtue. But these instructions that come from Paul in the book of Romans describe an ethic of virtue, a beautiful life, a life well lived, that points us toward each other. Christians have often been preoccupied with living an ethical life so that we can get to heaven after we die. We are good now so that we can achieve a status in the next life. But we're invited to live this life, to be good and kind, compassionate, forgiving, merciful, and persistent in love in this life, because it draws us near to one another here, now, in the midst of this world, in this present day. It points us not to a in the future, by and by, but in a present moment, an invitation to being and belonging that is rich and beautiful, that is full of life, that possesses this spirit you might describe as aloha, an invitation to being in belonging, to being and possessing a breath of God that connects us to each other, that is insistently, unfailingly mutual, that seeks the well-being of every stranger and even our enemies and all of creation itself. These directions for living that Paul gives us in the book of Romans are a direction that points us back to each other, or perhaps out to our neighbors and strangers and even our enemies. It's a direction that sends us into living, that sends us into living in a powerful and different way. Of course, this weekend in U.S. America, we celebrate Labor Day, a holiday that's not only putting on Hawaiian shirts this year, especially listening to Jimmy Buffett songs and barbecuing on the grill, but a holiday that celebrates advances in labor in our country. Its roots are born in another era where dramatic transformation was underway and the rights and dignity and well-being of workers was under threat, when wealth was held increasingly in the hands of a few, and the daily life of workers was one of danger and uncertainty. All of these decades, more than a century later, we celebrate Labor Day in the midst of a time of dramatic transformation of the world, when technology is again shifting the ways we work and the work we do, when labor movements are afoot all over our community and nation and through the world. We're here in Los Angeles. We continue to be in a long, hot summer of labor protests for the rights of hospitality workers and writers and actors, where workers are striking for the right to receive enough compensation to live in the community. What's at stake is a question of what kind of an economy we're going to be. Are we going to be an economy where those who labor can also sustain themselves and even experience participation in the fullness of the community? And on this Labor Day Sunday, as we read through Paul's long list of invitations, of expectations of how to live with one another, we are invited to reprioritize or reexamine or reaffirm our commitments for just living in this world. It's not just about how we treat our friends. It's also especially about how we treat our strangers. and even our enemies. The invitation of the gospel, as Jesus phrases it, is to take up his cross and to follow him, to live a life that seeks not the well-being of the individual, but the welfare of the whole, of the community, that seeks a fullness of love, as declared so fully and beautifully in Christ's own life and death and resurrection, an invitation to use our own bodies and lives for a full and beautiful life of all. Of course, we're humans, right? My favorite verse in the 12th chapter of Romans is the one where Paul acknowledges that we can't fix it all. He says, "If it's possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." If it's possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. We can't magically make everyone be peaceable. Everyone won't follow our rules or the ways we live our lives. There are times when we need to protect the vulnerable in our midst, to get away from those who seek to do harm, to give cover to someone under threat. But insofar as it depends on us, we're called to be people who live peaceably with all, who exhibit compassion and courage and love, who offer forgiveness and mercy and work for justice. We're called to be people who live toward each other, toward rich life and full life, toward aloha. This Sunday, as we gather in worship, we come to the communion table. And as Pastor Diana said when she was talking to the children, communion is an invitation to take the body and blood of Christ into ourselves as we become the body of Christ. And this is a wild idea that's at the heart of the gospel, that by participating in the grace of God, we become the body of Christ. As certainly as this bread becomes a part of our bodies, we taste and feel and know that we are a part of what God is doing in this world. And so when we greet each other with the breath of God, with the breath of the Spirit, with the breath of life, we are greeting God in our neighbors and in ourselves. We are greeting the divine presence here in our midst. And this changes everything. It gives us a special way to see and know the beauty, the depth, the devotion of what happens every time we serve another. We have the privilege then of serving God. And we have the privilege of knowing God's presence in ourselves, so that when we look in the mirror, when we seek after our own health, when we value our own presence, we know that God is in us as well. And carrying that, wearing that, knowing that, we find that all of life is changed. All of life is a reminder of our connection, a direction for living that points us into community, that points us into mutuality, that points us into belonging. May we have the courage to hear this invitation to be followers of Christ, to be livers of mutuality, to be receivers, recipients, and givers of blessing. May it be so. Amen.